Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today, we're honored to be joined by the incredibly talented Ateo Pinklis, who plays G.H., a supervillain, Victor Cassadine. We'll talk to him about his return to Port Charles, his new book, and his next trip. Without further ado, let's bring on the incredibly talented Mr. Ateo Pinklis.
Well,
hey, Teo.
You there? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Oh, hello. On a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Hello to everybody who's come on board, and let's get started.
Absolutely. First off, I just wanted to say I really appreciate you taking about 30 minutes or so out of your day to come on and chat with us today.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. It's always nice talking to fans and to people who are curious about what I'm doing or what I have been doing. But I never, when you introduced me as a supervillain, I never think of myself as a villain. I always think it's part of my job to disturb those people who think they're so righteous.
That's one way of looking at it.
Can't think of yourself as a villain. Otherwise, you know, you start twirling the mustache. As far as Victor, there hasn't been enough yet to expand on him as to what he's up to. But I'm sure what I've heard, there'll be some disturbances along the way.
People
have blamed me.
Yeah,
well, some people have blamed me for Robin's exit, but they have to understand I had nothing to do with it. It was her choice.
Yeah.
You know, she wanted to go on to other business, and she wanted to get into directing. But so, I mean, I got a couple of threats from some gentlemen who said, you do not let her go, otherwise you'll be in trouble. And I'm thinking to myself, are they serious?
Right, exactly. And I did want to ask you a couple of quick kind of fun, quirky questions. Number one, what drew you to this role of Victor initially?
What drew me to it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, originally in 1980, I think it was, or 81, I had tested for another role that André Lanzat got, and then they started to see that his character was not particularly strong, so they called me in to do it for 3 months, and then I was the only one who survived the Ice Princess story, and it was a phenomenal experience because of the audiences that we got. The stories were great. It certainly changed daytime. But, you know, you'd never think after all these years that they would call you back and say, you know, would you like to come back? And I thought, well, where's he been? Prison. For his darkly experiences. But, you know, it's a different platform now. It's when Gloria Monty was head then, it was a much more expensive show to do. Now, you know, things are very fast. And, you know, my first day I had 17 scenes to shoot that morning. So it kind of tested me because I hadn't worked in daytime for a few years. And but I thought, well, how do you bring a character that nobody really remembered that well from that many years ago? And so I thought, well, he was rich, so of course he's well-dressed, but his manner, and I think he was before Tony DiMera and André DiMera, he was a diabolical kind of character, and I like playing that because it leaves the audience wondering and guessing. And also, you know, if you're going to play an adversary, you have to be very sharp about how you play against the hero, because, you know, they always want the hero to win, but how do you get support for playing villainous situations? And that's playing the charm and the mischief and also having things up my sleeve that not even the writers were expecting. So It's very challenging, so much so now that even Donna Mills found it challenging, the amount of lines you've got to learn so quickly. But, you know, it's a well-run ship by Frank Valentini, and he's a wonderful producer, and he's been very warm to me, and so are the actors. So it also, I had to make an adjustment from being on Days. I wanted to get out of the comfort zones, and some people criticized the glasses, but I put those on because I wanted to take the character from NBC into ABC with a different kind of a look and format. And so when I went back now, I took the glasses off. Once I established it, I took them off. But, you know, he's we'll see. I haven't got my teeth into anything yet that I would like to, you know, to play. It's been mainly exposition, and so now I'm hoping that the story that's coming is going to be an exciting one, which I'm sure it will be.
You know, and I can't wait to see Victor back on screen. Your a chemistry with a Kathleen Getty.
Kathleen, yeah.
Who plays Obrek is just wow.
Well, you know, she's such a lovely person and a real pro. And right away when I saw her, I felt like I'd met an old soul. So right away, and she loved it, I went up and embraced her. She already did her homework on me. And so we just hit it off, and she's such a pleasant, lovely human. And so when we started to work as adversaries and also that we had been past lovers, you know, you had to bring up things that the writers who didn't know yet to see the chemistry and how we played off each other. So I thought the best way to play is come on with mystery. And every time she rejected me, I kind of laughed at it because I don't think too many people laugh at Victor Cassadine, in my mind anyway, and if they do, there's trouble. So with her, I started to play games, and she started to play back. So I think that's why the chemistry worked. We were on the same page.
I had Kathleen on the show sometime last year, and like you said, she is just one of the loveliest people on the face of the planet.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
I always think villains are. I always think the villains are probably nicer people than the heroes, which I find.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, I see these characters doing just incredibly evil things on screen, but when you sit down and talk to them on a show like this, they're just super sweet and super gracious. I mean, it's pretty incredible to see. So.
Well, it's always a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Because you keep thinking that they're going to be as villainous in person, and they're not.
Right, exactly. Right. Did you have any questions for him, Emma?
Well, I just wanted to talk about your trip that you're going to take to write your next book. If you want to talk about that and tell everyone listening what you're going to do, what your plans are.
Yeah, like most of my friends objected to some of the journeys I took in the Middle East. They always thought I was crazy or that I would get in trouble. Well, I did, you know. Certainly in Lebanon with the Hezbollah and Syria being followed around by secret police. And when I arrived at the airport, they threw the passport in my face because it was an American passport. And so you really have to be on guard. You have to, you know, you really have to be almost like a spy. You have to really take in the entire environment that you're in and make sure that the people who are being nice to you are not after something else. And I have found there's a lot of twisted personalities who think they can take advantage of somebody who's traveling and maybe by themselves. And I would warn any person traveling abroad. There was one thing I found out, which took place in Brazil, which is when they keep asking you when you're going to leave, that's always important to tell them you're not sure yet, because when you tell them, they'll try to do something the night before. That is always a red flag when that question comes up with me, when they'll say in the middle of a conversation, so when are you leaving? And I'll look at them thinking, why are they asking that? And I said, well, next week. They said, oh, great. But I'm leaving on the Saturday, so they don't plan, because I knew that somebody was planning to rob me in Rio. So I picked that up right away. And so the same with the Middle East, because they know that if they rob you the day before, there's not much you can do if you're leaving the country the next day. So better to lie to people overseas who are inquiring about your trip and where you're going, that you don't give them all the details, because they always think because we're Americans, we've got a lot of money and we're traveling with money, so they want to see what they can get from us. So not all. I've met some wonderful people in the Middle East and my guides and everything, but just to be on the safeguard that people who ask too many questions, you should always be alert. But that's why I'm going now to my trip, which I'm setting up to go to Iran, and I want to start my second book with Iran and then go to Greece. But the Iranian journey is about, I was always curious as to be, you know, because Iran or Persia was the great enemy of Greece, and I was always curious as to how Alexander the Great beat them, and how the great ruins of Persepolis in the south of Tehran. I want to go there, and I want to go and see some of the great Persian kings and some of their tombs. Also, the great Persian king who was Cyrus, who was responsible for loving Jews and being and allowing them to carry on with their religion. So I want to explore that, and also what they call the Zoroastrian religion, which is where most of the religions came from, and that was manifested in Persia in around the 3rd century BC. And so I want to go there because the fire is still being lit after all those thousands of years, and I want to see how religion started in that area, because the Quran and also the Torah and the Christian religions came from the belief of one God, and that's what I want to explore. And then go to Greece and start to go to an island called California, because there's an area there they believe they're discovering now is the real island where Ulysses, the great warrior from the Trojan War, who created the Trojan horse. I want to go and see if we can explore the whole area, and then go to the present-day Ithaca and see the contrast of the ancient island and the modern island, and see why there is an argument where the real Ulysses came home. So they're the stories I'm going to be writing for my next book, and see what happens in between, see who follows me. But I also want to include this time, not just journeys, I want to also bring in the cuisine of those cultures. So I want to go, you know, find a nice restaurant, find a great recipe, and then put that recipe in the book, and probably use some of my favorite recipes of my own in the back of the book. But so it will be a much broader idea of what the culture of that society is about.
Awesome. Now, this question sort of ties into what you were talking about. What was it like filming a Book of Esther with another soap star, Jen Lilly? What was that experience like filming?
Mm-hmm. She's such an angelic person. She really is. She is lovely to work with. Very beautiful. Very easy to work with. She, excuse me, she was, I didn't know of her at the time, but that was another film that was really short as far as the shooting schedule was concerned. I had a lot of words to say in the days that I had to shoot, but, you know, because it was a Christian association that produced this, what I loved about it was that they came into a circle before they began the work. Everybody went into prayer, and then it broke up, and everybody was ready for work. There was no drama. Nobody came on set with any ulterior motives. Nobody was trying to upstage anybody. There was a couple of things, you know, like the choice of my wife, where I had to, you know, sometimes you have to turn away your personal choices about what you find attractive in a woman, as opposed to what suddenly appears and says, this is your wife.
Yeah.
So when the woman came and she was a little bit nervous with me, I tried to calm her down and everything, but you know, you have to make choices, and you try to make it as attractive as possible. And as an actor, you've got to bring your own resources in so you can make it believable. But it was a lovely shoot, and David White, the director and producer, he's just terrific. to work with. So it was one of the best experiences I had, mainly because it was so peaceful to be. It was like going into a church and working as an actor. It was just so lovely.
You know, I have yet to see that movie. I need to pick it up sometime, but and this is just coming from my own personal experience, I have a ton of respect for what you guys do as actors. I have a ton of respect for it.
What you have to do with actors?
No. I have a ton of respect for what you guys do.
It helps.
Respect you guys so much.
But the character, for me, is the costume. Once I put the costume in, I know how he walks. And it's very important are the shoes, because that kind of allows the strut or the walk of the character. So once I put in the makeup, I'm suddenly into that person. I tap into an idea that I have of this person, and I take it from there, plus the fact who it is you're working opposite. Mm-hmm. So you listen to their tone and you listen to their interpretation, and then you know how to play the game, and it is a game. You know,
right.
Otherwise the scene would bring.
Are you up for taking a call or two?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Before we take callers, I have to. There's a few little rules, quote unquote rules. Please try to keep it brief, 30 seconds or a minute or so. And I think that's about the only rule. So I'm going to take these in the order they came out. I came in. So until 7.
All right. Well, let's get started and see who's the first person I'm going to speak to.
207, your own.
Hello, Teo. How are you?
Who is this?
This is Kelly Sweeney from York, Maine.
Oh, my lovely one. You.
It is such a pleasure to speak with you.
Ah, nice to talk to you, too. You've been so gracious with me on Twitter. That's been
You have been so gracious to York, Maine, so thank you. You are wonderfully amazing. You are just so, you're such the real deal, you know, and I usually shy away from calling in on these things, which is why I didn't get involved with what you did to help us. Because I get so nervous. I actually I get nerves. But it's at the point where I'm like, I've got to talk to Teo and say thank you for being a wonderful human being.
There are some actors that are not the nicest people in the world, even some of the ones you think are really great people. I mean, I'm always shocked they really are. But a lot of them are really very nice people, and I'm very much interested in their environment and their issues. But occasionally you meet the dick.
Yep, absolutely.
Even there,
which you are not.
For me, to be the better actor is I have to be grounded. Otherwise, I'll come off pretentious, and I try to be as real as possible because. You know, we're all here to work something out, and why make or disturb somebody's space because you want to be dismissive or self-important? All that is a bunch of crap. And so when people are nice to me and respectful, you know, how could you not be the same? So,
And that's such a blessing.
Much.
No, thank you very much, seriously.
Yeah, nice
for,
to talk
for,
to
yes, it's very listen, nice to talk to you.
Anytime. Anytime, love. And if you have any other charity, let me know.
Oh, you're wonderful. Have a good evening, Teo. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Right, bye.
Thank you.
And this next call is 814, your own.
Hello?
Okay.
Oh, hello? Oh?
814, hello.
Who is this?
It's Marianne.
Hi,
Marianne.
Yes.
Hey,
hi.
What are you doing here? You should be working, making your husband his supper.
One of those crazy ladies, you know, Emily? You like those crazy ladies, right?
Yeah. You guys are so much fun.
Yes, you
oh,
are.
Oh, you should be looking up some new recipe.
New recipes. Oh,
yes,
you
for your husband. Part of the seduction. You know what I mean? Keeping it alive and well.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's alive and well. So, you're going to the museum this evening?
Yeah, the Getty, the Greek consul is having an opening night at the Getty. It's the Byzantine exhibit, which deals with one of the longest periods in history, probably 1,000 years from the 4th century AD, and which was the Roman Emperor Constantine, who then went to Constantinople and brought upon the Christian world. And so it's going to be a lot of icons, I'm sure, in the exhibit, because it was a very religious period, and also his mother Helena was the first pilgrim who'd gone to Israel or Jerusalem and found the cross, and also she found the bones of the three wise men, which eventually she took back to Constantinople. And then during the Crusaders, one of the German leaders stole them and brought them back to Germany, and now they're interred in the Cologne Cathedral there. So it's going to be interesting because, you know, I always like icons. You know, a lot of people don't know that icons really were, they, you know, some people say, why do you pray to an icon? Well, it's not really praying to an icon as much as icons
but
were. Yes, how they were established, because it was an age of illiteracy. And so the icons were a way of communicating to the people to understand what the icons or what God was talking about or what his messengers were talking about. So when you look at an icon next time, try to interpret what the artist was trying to say.
Right. That's the same in the Catholic Church with the statues and the saints. The same.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I found that interesting, that it was because of the illiteracy, and because a lot of those ancient times, people didn't know how to write, and they didn't want educated people because the leaders wanted to control them, and so that's why they existed that way.
Any particular people?
Yeah, so that's where I'm going tonight, and I'm going to meet my producer from Mission Impossible and his wife, and also Leanne Hundley is going with me.
Oh, taking them out to dinner?
Yes, yes. So the exhibit starts at 6:45, and then for 2 hours, and then we'll go and have dinner somewhere, the four of us.
Oh, okay. How's Leanne doing?
She's doing great, great. Okay. So it'll be nice to see her. She's such a dear person and really one of the great friends I've got in Hollywood, in this town.
Yeah. From the first time you met her back on Days, and you've still kept that friendship. So it was really, it's really great.
Yes, I can't say that about everyone, but certainly
right.
She was. She was really fantastic, you know. So,
okay.
All right, well,
I'll
listen, talk to you.
Okay, I'll let you go. I'm listening because I'm having trouble getting in on my computer, so I'm kind of just listening on the phone.
Right.
So is that okay,
right.
Emily?
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
okay.
Thanks for coming and calling, honey.
Okay, anytime. It's interesting.
Thanks,
Mary. Uh-huh,
bye-bye.
Keep listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Another question I had for you, and if I don't ask this next question, my best friend will probably kill me. if you could go back and change one thing about your career, would you, and what would it be?
Well, if I knew everything I knew now about the acting world and its operation, which is not always the most electric and fun as it can be, because it is so competitive, and I probably would have become an archaeologist. If I had a choice, I would have looked at that and said, I'd rather have had an archaeology. I don't like a lot of noise, and I don't like a lot of hoopla. I like quiet moments. I think that's why monasteries and churches are very appealing to me, because I like the way you can internalize quietly. But I like to discover things and try to work out how that person or what that piece that I've discovered meant to that person in those times. And that fascinates me, because with a lot of discoveries, there's a lot of riddles. And so I enjoy that, uncovering truths. But you know, I made the choice of going into the acting, and And it's been, you know, a lot of good work and a lot of, I mean, I never always appreciated being killed off on days so many times and so ruthlessly. Never. I always thought, I used to say to them, why can't I just disappear up the stairs? Why does somebody have to throw a knife in my throat or whatever it was?
Yeah,
when you come back, it makes it all the more difficult to be alive again.
Sophie drama.
Right,
you
exactly.
Know?
Exactly.
But I probably would have done.
Did you have any more questions for him, Emily?
Well, I have one more question. I want to know what you would consider, like, the perfect day. Like, you can do anything you want. What's the perfect day for you?
On a Sunday, I like to watch all my news and all the talk shows with the politics. I like to do that and have breakfast in bed. And then go out with a friend or, if I'm seeing somebody, go to have oysters. And then later in the afternoon, probably go to a movie or to a play, or just spend time sitting around with friends and cooking and chatting about what we've been up to and catching up, like I did the other day. A friend of mine did Greek lamb, and when he brought it out, he was about to serve it, and I looked at it and I said, there's so much fat on that, you haven't finished cooking it. He goes, no, this is the recipe. I said, don't go by the recipe. Trust me. That does not look great on a plate. So put it under the broil and burn it all off, and you'll see that the skin will be crisp and the meat will still be moist. So those types of things I enjoy. I mean, you know, I had family here from Australia the other day. That was wonderful, with my cousin and his wife and two kids and playing with the children, and that I enjoyed. I like kids, and I like to think... that's probably an area of my life I wish I would have had. But, you know, two miscarriages and sort of gave up on it and continue with the career. But that's what I like. Or, you know, I get up in the morning and think about my next journey. That I always enjoy. So then I start discovering the truth about that particular place and then set forth into which places I want to explore and then bring back the news to family and friends and now also on Facebook or Twitter. And it'll be different this time, because when I took my last trip to Egypt, which was in 2010, because I decided to write the book, I would have been sending photographs through Twitter or Facebook while I'm there, which I thought would be great, letting the audience discover the same time I am something I'm looking at that moment. And that's, I like that instant kind of recognition of a discovery.
Awesome. I think that's probably the last question I had for you. So I wanted to thank you again for taking the time to come on and chat with us today. And you have a open invitation to the show anytime you want to come on, okay?
All right. Well, maybe next time when we're closer to the book being published on July 15th, maybe we can do one then. And because I'm really liking the way the book's turning out. I just approved it yesterday as the final edit, and so... we're moving forward. So thank you, and to all those who were there, I'm sorry I didn't speak to some people, but there'll be other times, and I enjoyed talking to you about what I've been doing, and best to both of you.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed, Teo. And yeah. I'll be talking with you on Twitter, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Bye, Teo. That was kind of incredible, wasn't it, Em?
That was. Oh, my gosh. We're in the live stream still. We finished the show. We have 58 seconds left. We did it. Finally. We did not go over.
Seriously. Hold on 1 second.
Just kicked butt.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Come on. Oh, never mind. They dropped. Never mind. A caller had called in within the last... 30 seconds, but they dropped. So, anyway, whatever. Em? Okay, I guess my co-host apparently left me. So, I don't know exactly What's happening with that? Again,
Cody?
Am? Hey, Am.
Yeah, it died, and or like the, it said call dropped, and then I called back. But
yeah, I know.
Oh, well.
But anyway.
We almost made it without a technical difficulty. 4 seconds.
Within like 5 seconds, it was, yeah, you know. But
we had a
hot
chat room tonight, all these awesome ladies in our
chat
room.
Yes, we did.
Jan and Marianne and everyone from
Jan,
Twitter.
Jan, Marianne, and, yep, absolutely.
I love when people call us because I love being able to, like, put a voice with the people that I talk to on Twitter. So,
but to listen to them, I know.
Yeah, I've known Marianne for a really long time, like on Twitter and on Facebook, and so to be able to chat with her was really awesome. And the same,
right,
I don't know Kelly, but I know Jan, but Jan didn't call us. She's just in the chat room. Well, we did it. We did it in under 30 minutes. We stayed in the live stream, and then we screwed up the last 30 seconds, but we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Good for us. Okay. That was awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, well, anybody who's listening to this in the archive, because you can no longer hear us, join us
absolutely
Friday night
thanks
for our General Hospital show.
Smart girl, I was about to forget that, actually.
Yep, guys,
I was about to forget
Friday night.
I forget to plug that.
I forgot to write notes yesterday, I wrote today's. So I'm going to have to read the recap online to remember what happened to write my notes because last week my summary was bad. So we need to practice that. Oh, and how awesome was Tyler Christopher live tweeting today?
Oh, that was hilarious.
Him
that
and Nancy
awesome.
Lee Grand need to live tweet at the same time. Like, that would make my life perfect. Anyways, nobody can hear us anymore, so we're pretty much just talking to each other. So we could stop now, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that was awesome. That was super fun.
That was fun. Teo
is just
incredible, isn't he?
Yeah. Jan just tweeted us and said she wasn't fast enough to call because
we talked
for so long, and then we took callers in the last 5 minutes.
Marianne, I retweeted that. Yeah, I saw that.
Well, it's okay because she can call us next time. She can call us on Friday night.
Friday.
Now Jan will have to call us now because now we need to talk to her because now I kind of feel bad because she didn't make it this time. So Friday night, well, I'll make sure Jan calls us so we can chat.
Friday night at 6. Yep, absolutely.
Yep. All right, well, that was an awesome show. Are we done? We have nothing else to talk about, do we?
And not to spoil it for anybody, but what did you think of today's GH? Not to spoil it for anybody.
Well, I liked it. Finally picking up some momentum. There's not a whole lot I can say without, you know, spoiling it, but
right,
it was pretty good. I think Nick had a turning point because he's been such a jerk, and he just realized, like, he was being such a jerk, and then I'm not spoiling this. Everybody knows that Britt has a police.
Right.
So
right.
When he found that out, you know, when they went in there, it's very, like, he had a turning point. It was obvious that he felt like, a jerk at that point.
Right.
But we will have more to talk about on Friday night because we will have 5 days to talk about, and I will make sure to take notes so that I can do a summary and a recap for our listeners because I sucked at that last night, or last week. I flopped.
You were fine. I still don't have the slightest idea why Dante is still
on the case. Because it's Port Charles. Today on Twitter, I called Nathan. I called him Detective Doorknob because he was, like, putting the pieces together so slowly. And he was
hilarious.
Oh, wait a minute. So she was pregnant? Like, no. Madeline wanted to get rid of the non-existent child. Like, yes,
that's
she was
hilarious.
Pregnant. And so I tweeted Detective Doorknob catches on quickly.
That's
his new name. He's an idiot. I love Ryan, and I love that. I like Nathan. I mean, what's not to like? But he's an idiot.
He's not the sharpest tool in the shed, is he?
What?
Nathan's not the sharpest tool in the shed, is he?
Yeah, he's not. He's kind of an idiot. But I mean, I love Ryan.
But
no
anyway,
to him, and no disrespect to the character of Nathan, but
absolutely
Nathan's
not
an idiot.
Right.
But you know.
But anyway.
Wait, should we? Okay, should we tell anyone who's like listening to us because they can't hear us right now, but they'll hear us later? Should we tell them who we are welcoming to the show the week of the what week are we welcoming?
That hasn't been confirmed yet, so let's kind of hold
okay,
up on that.
Okay, so we have two prospective guests coming up for you guys.
Hopefully,
three, actually, I think.
Hopeful guests.
So
I need to.
You guys will enjoy it. Anyone who watches, I'm not going to tell you guys because I don't want to spoil it, but
right.
I'll give you guys some clues on Twitter, but I won't tell them who it is. But
I need to DM you something real quick after the show.
All right. Well, guys, we're welcoming some really fun guests in the next month, hopefully.
Yes, we are.
We have a lot of people we're chatting with, so you guys are really going to enjoy
crossing
it.
Crossing our fingers, we hope.
Well, hopefully we've had some good luck, so
maybe
it'll continue.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
I think that'll about do it for us.
All right. Oh, that was an awesome show. Good job. Go team.
I thank you again for coming on and actually doing this with me. What's it been now?
Oh, it's my pleasure.
About a month since you've
been
on?
It's been a month now. Yeah.
No, seriously.
I feel like we're like vets now. We've been at this for so long. Actually, you know what's sad is I had to interrupt Cat Snuggle Time with Elvis to like do it again. Like
right.
He's starting to hate me because every time I have to do the show, I have to like make him move. And we were taking a nap together on the couch.
Funny.
And he was like, I tweeted a picture. He had his, like, arm. I don't know. Cats don't have arms. Whatever it's called. The front paw that's,
pictures,
like, where my arm would be.
Did you say
go ahead.
Jen Lily's picture of Lucy, her dog?
Yes. Her dog is so
giving
cute.
A stink eye? That was hilarious.
Yes.
That was so
I
funny.
Love
Jen's
dog.
Like,
I want to play.
Holy crap.
I want to hang out with Jen's dog. Like, Jen would be great to hang out with, but I want to hang out with her dog.
That dog would eat Seb. And Jen was
everyone
like,
in their
holy
cute
crap, I think I'm going to move far away from you now. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, Elvis had his one, I don't know, cats don't have arms, whatever it's called, like around my waist. Like he was attached to me like a bear. And then I was
wow.
like, yo, it's 5:50, I have to get up. I was like, I have to
wow.
get up because I have to go call Cody. And then I was like, he's going to hate me. I'm going to make him move. And then he, like, came in here and followed me, and now he's asleep on the bed. So I obviously didn't disrupt anything because all cats do asleep.
Right.
All right, well,
that's
that
funny.
About does it for us, doesn't it?
I think it does.
All right, well, thank you, Marianne. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Teo. Thanks, Cody.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I think I'm going to let you go, Em, and wrap up here for a second, and I'll be of course, talking on Twitter, okay?
All right, cool. Bye.
All right, bye. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our chat with J.H.'s Teo Pinglis, who, by far, is one of the sweetest, nicest men you'll probably ever encounter. I think that about does it for us, so I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Awake Days with Murph. Thank you, and goodbye.